Hello, friends. Excited to share with you a word tonight that God dropped into my heart. I think it's going to really encourage you because it just reminds you of the bigness of God and really the big picture of God working in this moment. No matter what it looks like, God is working. That's my title. No matter what it looks like, our God is working. There's a great verse, in fact, in my favorite chapter in the New Testament, is Romans 8. But there's a great verse in that chapter that talks about how the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with our lives to bring about divine outcomes. Beginning with verse 26, it says this: likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. Just a couple moments there. That the word helps in the Greek is a compound word, three words put together. It means this: to come alongside and to pull against. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside, he grabs the difficulty, and he asserts authority with me. So he comes alongside to enable, to fight, to strengthen, to work with us. The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit's going to help you in your weakness, in our weaknesses. Part of our weakness is in this next sentence. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. Of course, we have a limited understanding of all things. So we have finite consciousness. We have finite intellects and understanding and information and knowledge. And yet the Holy Spirit doesn't. He's infinite. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. And so that gives us access through his mind, what he knows, to have outcomes different than what we think, what we know. He helps us in our weaknesses because we don't know how to pray. And then here's how he helps us. The Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One way of saying that, with words that we have not studied, with languages that we have not learned. There is a groaning in the Spirit, but there also is a prayer through the Holy Spirit's language, a praying in my heavenly language. When I'm praying in my heavenly language, the Holy Spirit's praying the perfect will of God. Man, you talk about powerful prayer. When the Holy Spirit's praying through you, he's praying the mind and the will of God to be done. Now, verse 27 says, for he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So people ask me how I pray. Well, I pray scriptures every day. I pray many things in English. Then I shift into my prayer language, praying for the church, for people, for needs, for the world, because I know the Holy Spirit's praying at a higher level than my understanding. That my prayers, my vocabulary is not limited to the finite nature of my own intellectual qualities, abilities, my education, my experience, my understanding. But the Holy Spirit lifts that lid and allows me to access the mind of God, praying then the perfect will of God. I'll say it like this. When you pray in your heavenly language, you hit the bullseye, the target, every time, because you're praying the prayer God wanted to pray. Then the next verse says this: in light of that, praying as the Holy Spirit helps us, standing with us against polling. He's come, he's with us. He's putting his hands on the things we have our hands on. He's contending where we're contending, fighting where we're fighting, enabling us to make it through what we're going through. Verse 28 says, we know then all things work together for the good of them that love God, called by his purpose. So it's an important contextual connection that for God to work all things together for good, he needs the Holy Spirit to pray with us about those situations. And so once the Holy Spirit becomes engaged in our prayer life about these needs and these situations, God puts his hands on that situation. No matter what it looks like today, God can make it turn out for good. There's nothing in your world God can't put his hands on and derive good out of it. That's what God's promised to you. It's all beginning with the Holy Spirit helping us, coming alongside and pulling against. fighting, helping us overcome, helping us get the victory in the thing we're praying about. And then God works all things together. God's working. So right now in your story, God's working. Often we don't see the full universe, the full grasp of what God's done till later moments when we see, wow, I didn't see it back then, but the whole time I was going through this thing, God was working on this thing, and now I'm living in the consequence of God working on my behalf. And I just want to encourage you, God's working for you. God is working in your world. No matter what things look like, God is working. He's working in your family, your life. He's working for your future. He's working for his purpose, his eternal purpose, the calling, the assignment, the destiny, the dream that heaven has for your life. God's working for that in your story. Nothing can stop God from accomplishing that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a great encouraging word. The Apostle Paul said through the Holy Spirit, therefore we do not lose heart. We refuse to let discouragement gain ascendancy and become our overlord, letting it dominate our decisions, our attitude, our vocabulary, our actions. We don't give up. We don't let discouragement win. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing, our physical bodies have a limited lifespan. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. My spirit is getting stronger. No matter what's happening in my body through the chronological aging of my story, for our light affliction, and this is a big thing when Paul, who went through many things in prison, beaten, shipwrecked, betrayed, Paul compared all of those adverse moments to being a light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And so Paul said, we keep our eyes on eternal perspective. And it's a big thing because Paul said, in this season when you're feeling kind of overwhelmed, you're actually in a strength training regiment. And you're going to come out of it in this season with bigger faith muscles, with bigger love muscles, with bigger Christ-like character muscles. I posted a funny video of my oldest son, Matthew, bench pressing his 12-year-old daughter. It was cute, and of course he can't go to the gym. And so he's bench pressing her and lifting her up. Well, he can lift up his daughter because he's been strength training for years. And so the Holy Spirit's in this season is going to help you become stronger by the things he's helping you lift, by the things he's helping you overcome. The Passion translation of this chapter says this. So no wonder we don't give up, for even though our outward person gradually wears out, our inner is being renewed day, every single day. In view of this, we view our slight then short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal weighty glory far beyond all comparison. Because we don't focus our attention on that which is seen, but that which is unseen. For what the things that are seen are temporary, but the unseen things are eternal. So God is working not just in the visible circumstantial world. You know, I've had some powerful visions where I've seen God shortening the impact and the duration of this pandemic and really declaring that, praying that all the time. But even while that's happening, God's working in your world. He's working in your heart, your life, your story, your faith, your character, your Christ-like calling. All of us together share a universal common purpose. And our most important human purpose is to be like Jesus, for whom he foreknew, Romans 8 says, he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn of many brethren. I was predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So are you. That is our number one calling, and it's so important. Romans 5 expands this idea, and verse 3 says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Tribulation is the Greek word thiplos, which means pressure. We glory under stress and pressure and weight, knowing that pressure, stress, and weight produces perseverance. What is perseverance? The ability to carry weight. The ability to endure something, to stay in place no matter what's happening. And then endurance, that capacity, perseverance produces character. That's my goal. That's our goal. Christ-like character. And character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. King James says, makes not ashamed. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. So we know that we have advanced in character when hope is the normal setting in our hearts during the seasons of difficulty. That we have gone through this cycle of life knowing that pressure comes and pressure builds my perseverance, my endurance factor. And my endurance allows my character, my Christ-like qualities to become strong and to dominate my behaviors, my words, my thoughts, my attitudes. And then as a consequence, the evidence that I become Christ-like is that hope is my set point. It is my environment. It is the place that I have grown into to quickly adapt and quickly adjust no matter what's happening in my story. Yeah, like my son who was bench pressing his daughter, London. A lot of us are bench pressing unusual weight and unusual things in this moment, but I'm here to tell you, God's increasing, he's working in you in this season. You're going to come out of this season different than you went into it with. Yes, there are many things. People are losing material things and jobs and finance. And man, I have so much compassion and so much care for you. Man, I'm just so sorry that's happening. But God can give you those things back. The eternal weight of this season is to be more like Jesus than I was before. And so the Lord will take anything. See, my son couldn't go to the gym and lift at the bench press machine, so he lifted his daughter. God will take whatever is available in our world and help our faith muscles, help our endurance, our Christ-like qualities to become stronger, helping us overcome stress. Until, listen, pressure, Jesus said, talking about pressure, said this, in the book of John, in the world, you will have tribulation. That's the word thiplos, pressure, stress, to squeeze something. It's a portrait of the olive press squeezing the olives to make oil, the wine press squeezing the grape to make wine. In the world, there's always squeezing pressure to try to change people. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world, there's pressure, but don't lose your peace and don't be gripped by what the world's gripped by. I have overcome it for you. We're more than conquerors. Why? Because we have a conqueror. We don't do the conquering. He did the conquering. By faith, we inherit what he died and overcame to give us. A victorious life, no matter what's going on. A victorious mind, a joyful heart, a hope filled expectation, a hope-filled expectation. So you know your heart's healthy when it dreams again, when hope is your reset position, when hope is your default position, when you don't allow long seasons of anxiety, depression, despair, confusion to grip you. The stronger you get in Christ, the quicker you bounce back from those assaults and those discouraging things that would cause those assaults. No matter what's happening in the world, God's working. God's working for you. Yes, he's going to help you. Man, we're going to have so many miracle testimonies of physical healings, financial miracles, family deliverance. We're on the precipice of the greatest harvest of souls in human history. So many great outcomes are happening. But also, in your life, no matter what things look like, do not calculate the value of this season by what's happening up there. God says, I'm doing something in here. I'm working in you. I'm working deep inside of you. A powerful work. Philippians 1:6 says this, be confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will also finish it. God's working to finish what he began. God's a good finisher. In our culture, we celebrate beginnings. We celebrate weddings. We celebrate babies being born. We celebrate businesses beginning, churches starting. God celebrates things being completed. And he's a good finisher. In fact, Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the A and the Z, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He knows how to construct the sentences that make up the story of your life. He knows how to write this season of your story to give you a kingdom outcome. He's working now. He's working in your world. Every time we pray, we allow the continual work of God to go to the next level. No matter what it looks like, keep praying, keep believing God's word, keep trusting Jesus, knowing that no matter what things look like, God is working. No matter how we can't maybe fully discern, understand, grasp, even conceive of outcomes, trust God, God's working. He's working what? All things together for your good. If it's not good yet, it just means God's not done yet. He's working. He's on your side and he's helping you. But he's also working deep inside of you. He's introducing us to a new quality of Christ-likeness in the midst of this worldwide pressure. He said, I want my people to step into more of my glory, more of my grace, more of my character, more of my Holy Spirit's enabling presence, more of the joys and principles and authorities of my kingdom. Come on in. He's doing something inside of us. I'll say it again. You're going to come out of this season better than you went into it with. A different person, a better person. A stronger faith, stronger trust, greater hope. Perseverance, endurance that doesn't quit. So pressure is often the enemy's greatest weapon against mankind. And as believers, our destiny can't be fully realized until we've learned to handle pressure. And we handle pressure in these moments, this knowing that tribulation, pressure, works perseverance. And perseverance works character. And character grows and develops my hope. And hope never disappoints. So God's helping you default to the hope position quickly by developing your character. Man, when you can keep worshiping God for being good while things are going bad, it's because you have a hope in you. And when you do that, you give the devil two black eyes. You overcome his lies against God, the nature of God, or the nature of God's thoughts about you, or the promise of your future when you can worship God. Paul was bleeding from being beaten, and he was bound hand and foot in Philippi in the prison. But when midnight came, he sang praises to God. And as they sang, he and Barnabas sang praises to God. The Bible says God shook the prison, and everybody came out. Every chain was broken. Every prison door was flung open. It's amazing what worship can do, especially in moments of intense adversity. Yeah, worship heals, worship helps. Worship really reattaches us to so many heavenly promises, virtues, and graces. Keep worshiping God. If the devil can't stop your worship, he can't steal your breakthrough. Keep worshiping God and watch what God's going to do in this season. So God's working things together for your good. Psalm 138 says this, that God's promise to you is, God's faithfulness to you is so perfect. It says this, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord will perfect that. See, you have to look at uncertainty and declare into it, God's going to finish what he started. He's the author and finisher of my faith. I'm confident that he that has begun something good is going to finish it. He's going to perfect it, mature it, complete it. And he's going to retrieve glory from what he does in it. In James chapter 1, another great verse about overcoming, about living the victory that God has for us as his beautiful children. James 1 verse 3 says this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Ah, there it is again. The testing of our faith. So endurance. Endurance. The early church fathers called endurance the queen of all virtues. Understanding the importance of being able to take a licking and keep on ticking. If the devil can chase you away through pressure, you'll never fulfill your purpose. And so people that haven't learned to endure, the enemy uses the trump card, the ace of pressure, to chase them from their promised land, to chase them from their promised purpose, to chase them from their destiny. But once you've learned to trust God, and sometimes we're lifting weights, the Holy Spirit, what he comes and helps us, so it's never an overwhelming, crushing weight, but it's a developing strength training exercise. God says, I'm going to bring you through this season. You're going to come out stronger. You're going to come out more like Jesus. You're going to come out with a developed character. You're going to come out of this season with an endurance that allows you to survive and overcome difficult stresses. You're going to come out of this season with an undefeatable hope. Hope makes not ashamed. We come back to hope. We come back to hope. That's when we know we're healthy. That's when we know we're healthy. When hope is present. When present in our souls. God's going to help you. God's working. I want to say this again. God's working for you. He's working for your family. He's working for your business, your ministry, your finance, your needs. He's working in every situation. So don't make permanent decisions because of temporary conditions. Never make an important decision when you're discouraged. Never let the temporary become permanent in your life. God's going to help you escape, overcome through faith. Some things God takes away and some things God makes us strong through. And we're getting strong through this. We're getting strong through this. God's going to help you. He's going to help you learn to pray with more authority, with more precision through the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you stop making wrong interpretations of things. Trusting God with the big picture, even before you see the fine detail of how he's going to do it. He's going to help you with a vocabulary, helping you adjust your words. Because God can't bless things while you're still cursing them. He's going to help you say things that are healing, that are heavenly. He's going to help you confess God's word over your life, even while you're going through difficult moments and struggles. That's how good God is. He's going to use this season to do amazing things in all of our stories together. We're all going to have such good testimonies and such amazing, joyful celebrations because God is at work. Ephesians chapter, let me finish. The James verse says, the testing of your faith works patience. Let patience, verse 4 says, let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let patience have its perfect work. So God does something. There are storms I've asked God to take away that he didn't. And then I understood he was doing something in me in that storm. God doesn't send difficult or evil things, but God will use things like storms to teach his eagles how to soar. God will use pressure to teach his saints how to strength train, how to keep going forward, how to overcome disappointing or discouraging news, how to be strong in faith, how to be strong in endurance, how to have Christ-like character, how to have hope. See, I'm hopeful not because things look good. I'm hopeful because my God is good. And his goodness keeps fueling my hope. My hope. It's impossible to believe in a good God and then not to expect to see his goodness come into our life. In Psalm 23, David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, will chase after me. Every place I go, God's goodness will show up. God's mercy will show up. That's the testimony God has. Wherever life takes you in this season, goodness and mercy will follow you. God's working. God's working on your behalf. There's a great verse in the book of Esther, and it gives insight into the working grace of God, the power of God's sovereign providential will to accomplish things in our world. Early in the book of Esther, Mordecai, a godly Jewish man who was high up in Babylon, he had protected the king from an assassination plot. And two of the king's servants plotted to kill him. Mordecai found out about it, stopped it, took care of them, and protected the king. Somehow, that incredible act of service and loyalty was unnoticed by the king for some duration of time. But in the book of Esther, here's what it says later on. On that night, months, years later, on that night, the king could not sleep. And there was read to him Chronicles of the Kingdom. And they came apart, the historical fact. On this day, Mordecai found these two assassins, these two betraying servants were going to kill the king. And the king jumped out of bed, said, how come I never heard that before? What has been done to honor that man? And at that moment, God, see, God knows how to wake up people that are called to release God's provision into your life. God knows how to wake up kings for you. God has timing that is so perfect. Mordecai's reward was delayed, but it came. Mordecai's breakthrough was deterred, but it came. Mordecai's sacrifice was not instantaneously recognized, but it was eventually. And that's God's promise to you. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. The very moment that Mordecai, the king, brought him and was going to honor him, the very moment of that, Haman, the enemy of Mordecai and Jews, had plotted to kill every Jew in Babylon. And he had come to ask the king for that authority. In fact, he had built gallows 70 cubits high to hang Mordecai on. That very moment, the king commanded him, Haman, to go be the element, the instrument of blessing to Mordecai. God used Mordecai's enemy to bless him. And he paraded him through the city on the king's horse, the king's robe, the king's scepter. And God is never limited by who he can use. Don't worry about how God's going to turn things around. Don't worry about when breakthrough is going to come. God knows how to do it. God knows when to do it. You keep trusting him. You keep being constant. You keep lifting and enduring tribulation and pressure. You keep standing strong. You keep trusting Christ. I know years ago when we, 25 years ago, when we, Mary and I and our family went through a great public trauma, I said to the Lord at the beginning of that difficult season, I can handle 6 weeks of this. Well, when it ended 6 years later, I realized I emerged from that season a different person. An entirely different person for the better. God did such a deep and profound and lasting. Maybe the season lasted so long because that was a tough nut to crack. Maybe God had to do a lot of deep work in me. But whatever the reason, when it ended, God did something incredible. God's going to do something incredible in your story. He's working with you. He's working all things together for good. He's going to make things that you hope go away. Yeah, he may take them away, but if he doesn't, you're going to overcome. You're not going to give up. You're not going to run. Satan's going to stop chasing you from things God wants to do in you. You're going to learn to handle certain weighty moments, certain stressful encounters. You're going to learn to bear that weight and become more like Jesus, to have a developed character, have a strong endurance, have a undefeatable hope, and then have a testimony. Look what the Lord has done. That's what God has for you. God, I thank you that you're working for my friends that are watching. There's not one person listening or watching that you're not working for, that you're not working in, that you're not working on the behalf of. And God, I thank you that you know what you're doing. So we trust you. We lean on you. We rely on you. We surrender to you. And we know, God, you are our Alpha, our Omega, the author and finisher of our faith, that you know what you're doing. So I thank you, God. No matter what things look like, we just thank you. I thank you that so many people are going to have a testimony very shortly of you working things together for their good. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying with us, for praying through us, for releasing the will of God to be done. Thank you for developing inside of our hearts, Father, the nature, the character of Christ, that we might grow in our spiritual calling, this eternal calling, so much more significant than our temporary earthly circumstances. That's the goal. We want to be more like you, Lord Jesus. We want to emerge from this season carrying the virtues of Christ-likeness more and deeper than we've ever had before. And we know you're going to do that, God. Father, I pray for the remedy of your hope to lift out of anyone's heart fear, discouragement, depression, anxiety. Holy Spirit, just lift those weights out of the heart and mind of your people and reassert your kingdom authority. Reassert your peace, your hope, your love, your grace as the governing features of our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God, I speak healing to anyone who is physically suffering. Thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, they're healed. Thank you for healing them. Father, I pray for anyone that's watching. Maybe they stumbled on this video. They've never met you. They don't know you as Savior. I thank you in this moment, Lord Jesus, you're calling them and drawing them. It's so easy, my friend, to receive from Jesus the gift he would give you. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for filling me with your nature, with your love. Just give your heart to him. No matter what's happening, trust God. No matter what's happening, don't give up. No matter what's happening, don't misinterpret things. God's always at working. He's always at work. The devil never wins when he plays chess with God. God has some strategic moves on your behalf. God's waking up kings for you. God's moving things on the chessboard. And God's going to get you there to the calling, the purpose, the destiny you were born for, my friend. Hey, thank you for listening to me tonight. God bless you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen.